let's just go review that real quickly because it's important. The idea of what it means to be, what born again means. It means that you know that there is a life in you that came from above. Every man that is in Christ is a new creature, not new like improved, but new as in class or genus or, you know, alien, really.
Yeah.
And that when it, the types are revealed in the Old Testament with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. With Abraham, it was 100 years before he was born again. He had to do everything. He, as we've said many times, his life was, I don't want to do that anymore. Then with Isaac, it was instant. It was dramatic. It was an explosion that went off in him. Remember when it's when that's talked about, it says that Abraham took Isaac he took Isaac, Ishmael, and Eliezer. The three that he thought were the heir was going to. Before he had the experience in the tent with Hagar, he, since he had no child, he thought that Eliezer, his chief, was going to be the promise. And then he had to go through. So that's why, anyway. Then the last one was Jacob.
You mean Isaac?
Huh?
Isaac.
What?
You said the last one was Jacob.
Right. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
You're talking about you went from Hagar to Jacob.
Well, it was, yeah. But no, it was Hagar to Isaac.
Yeah.
And then when he died, when it says that Abraham and the two young others, the two men, went back. Isaac was left in the. He effectively, spiritually died. Now, of course, Jacob, the way of the snake, is what probably is most people, because it's a struggle, it's a fight, it's everything is wrong, but they still don't give up until finally, when the angel wouldn't let him go, and the angel was the one that was kicking his butt, and continued to kick his butt until. The angel finally said, what's your name? He wouldn't tell him his name. He finally said, my name is Jacob, the way of the snake. I am the Antichrist. And you shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, she who sees God. So the same true in us. There must be, in Abraham, he was Abram, and then when he saw, he was Abraham, the breath, ha, the breath. Isaac disappeared. Jacob became Israel. But those three are the way that you end up. As I said, none of them knew they were born again because they were believers. They only knew they were born again after these experiences. Amen?
Does the words born again, are they used in the Old Testament?
No.
That's a New Testament.
Well, it means the same, but it's born from above.
Yeah, that born from above is interesting because to have existed from the first state somehow in me goes back through time but into eternity.
Well, that's the whole.
Seems horizontal, where it was born from above is another.
They're the same, because the part of being born again is that you see eternity, and that's where you're no more subject to time. You redeem the time. So you look from above, not from below. You don't see the passage of time. You see faith only. Let's go to Romans 10. I don't know where that came from, but we'll see. Did I ever tell you the pages of my Bible stick together?
About a billion times.
Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if there's anything in your life, whether it's cause and effect, or some behavioral idea of what way things should be, or the thousand other things that are of the law, then you're still a child. You're still carnal. And the only remedy is the preaching of the cross. So that the cross comes against all of the tendencies and all of the laws and all of the ideas about how one should behave and how one should be. Because you're not conformed to any aspect of the world. Let me go on. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, say not in thine heart. And again, and you remember I've said it before, but it's got, in Greek, it's more there's more extension made. It says, "For I'm sorry, I'm not doing well." It says, "Say not even in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead." Again, from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, confessing it is the first. Confess. What do you confess? You can only confess what you see. And it's not until you're born again that you can confess that, because you're seeing from the top down. You've redeemed the time. And you shall believe that in your heart he is raised from the dead. And the heart is just cardia, your inner being, he is raised from the dead. But the point of the confession is critical. It's speaking it, publicly identified with it. But that's the end, the finality of repentance. You no longer do the repentance of the world, which leadeth to sorrow. You're repenting not to be repented of. What that means is, you've seen the end. You may screw up and have a trespass, but his blood has cleansed you from all trespass. Amen?
Yeah.
finalize abomination today, finally. Go to Revelation 21.
Let's do one more thing here about the heart. That's interesting.
Just means your inner being.
Well,
the inward man.
It's not your physical heart.
No.
However, it's felt sometimes in that arena, in that area.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all of this, those kinds of thoughts come because we still believe that the heart is a seat of emotions, which it isn't.
Is it your belly?
No, your mind.
Your mind is your emotions.
Your mind is a seat of your emotions, just as it's a seat of your idolatry. It's a seat of everything. That's why the mind must be renewed by the preaching of the cross.
Kind of some duality here in a sense. Christ spoke about he knew what was in every man's heart. So there's two definitions.
When he knows what's going on in your inner being. That's all that means. It's you're not speaking it. It's going on, but you're not talking about it.
Requirement of salvation, or what is it? With the heart man believes of the righteous.
In the heart.
It says with the heart, but whatever.
Alright, in the inner man you believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but verse 10, he's quoting verse 10, you're quoting verse 9. It does say with the heart, but with in verse
with
9.
With or in, it's the same word. In the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In the inner being, in the inner man, you believe unto righteousness.
This is kind of in the beginning. It's almost like this is where it starts. There's some time frame, it seems, when this takes place in a person.
Well, again, it's the time frame is the whole thing that we just talked about Jacob, I mean Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right, and that the same type comes from this confession. Abraham, none of them could confess that Jesus Christ had anything to do with them because they hadn't seen him. They'd only seen the emptiness of their own efforts.
So regardless of how long it takes or doesn't take, it's the same overall event of with the heart.
In the heart.
Well, it says
in the inner man.
Okay, in the inner man. Man believes. And then with his mouth, he hears himself say it. I know that's a big deal to speak that reality. If you just leave it there and never say it, I don't know why, but it seems to be different.
You got to see it. The King James time, people believed that the heart was the seat of emotions and decisions. Just like many people do today. Mm-hmm. But the seat of emotions and the seat of who makes you isn't your heart. That's just there pumping blood. That's why cardia means if you translate it, it means the heart. But at this time it meant the inner man. But it's still believe. It's always meant the inner man. But it depends on how we look, what our own understanding is. And for many people in the world, they still talk about the heart being the seat of emotions. That's why language is so, you can't.
But there is this, in my mind, I want to do this, but my heart says no. So there's some.
Your heart says no. Your heart has no capacity for thinking.
Your inner man does.
Right.
Well, that's what I just was relating to.
Your inner man.
Okay, I'll say inner man, but the Bible says heart to imply the inner man.
All Let's go on. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, in thy inner man. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in your heart or in your man that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't raise him in your heart. He raised him. The cardia just means inner man. He's all right. Don't worry about it. Whoever, then it goes on, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, that's an interesting thing. And I can't remember the word, but it means to be, he's no longer confused. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be confused about any issue. You've seen the end of all things. You've seen the futility. You've seen everything is a puff of smoke, a vein of emptiness beyond empty. You've seen you no longer love the world or the things that are in the world. Because you've seen. Now, to know that you see, that's what it means to be born again. Otherwise, you're living in two worlds. You're living with your mind and with law and with what you're going to do and doing. And you're trying to do that while you try to live in faith. And that's the carnal out. That's carnal. Until all is faith. When you've accepted your death. Now, to know that is, I think before you know that you know it, you're hoping it. Or something. I don't know what it is, but I know that it has to do with these three stages of Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob, but I just don't know how to, I don't know how to make it any clearer right now.
It makes me think of stranger in a strange land. And even though we're born again, we still have this desire to fit in.
That's carnality.
Yeah, trying to make faith and the world work together.
Right. And giving breath to what you're doing and giving importance that you're doing this or that. Remember the other day when Glenn was here and he was working on this maybe a $700 million deal.
Yeah.
And I prayed with him and I said, this is no more important than cutting the grass. But when you rank things, then you're still carnal. When you rank something going on and more important than somebody than something else going on. I used to say that, I think I even said that washing dishes was more important than meeting with Diane Sawyer. Because I'd met with her, But the point of it is it's just the mind can't help but rank things that this is more important than this, and this is the way you should behave, and this is how you should, all these little goodies. And they're all crap. They're all the law. That's why you see it in a community. You see people, well, this is how you should behave. And they really believe it. It's like a law. But it's something you learned. And so those things are all, they all have to go to the cross. Our, Otherwise, you're living in, you're trying to live in two worlds. And just like Jacob.
When Melchizedek came, as Christ as Melchizedek came to Abraham, that was, in a sense, Abraham seeing Christ. I mean, that express, that way of saying Abraham seeing Christ.
Yeah, but he didn't.
That was.
He still made a jillion mistakes.
Sure. But that in effect,
it took him 100 years before he was he was still Abram. I believe he was still Abram when he at Melchizedek. He didn't become Abraham. Ha, meaning the breath of God, the uniqueness. Until at the end of he tried all these other things. Melchizedek was Jesus Christ, but that wasn't Jesus Christ. He was Christ, but not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. Every time I think it is, I've never seen one where it wasn't, where it says the Lord in the Old Testament, it's talking about Christ, but as Messiah or as the Son of God, but not made flesh. And that's why they tried everything. Gave man every possible chance. Even unto the last, the last few minutes with the disciples, he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And then the first thing they did is, we can use this. We're going to go fishing. We're going to return to our old lives and be successful here. So he had to show them the crap of success. They caught more fish than they could handle. And they saw it. And then Peter again kept saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." In other words, don't pay any attention to fishing and all that crap. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I think this is what he's saying, that that's what each believer should have as his goal. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep.
To feed the Lord's sheep is to serve Christ and God's people. That's one way of saying
it. Means
we all have different jobs and tasks. It
means making another person more important than you. Mm. You see everybody, you see yourself only as a servant to all. You have no independent life of your own. That's what feed my sheep means. Now, do all believers in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, feed the sheep? No. There are some wealthy people. But their wealth was used to benefit the sheep while it benefited them at the same time. The point of it is the whole idea of agape is the other person is more important, that whoever you're with is more important than you are. Does anybody see this, or am I just talking to the air?
I think it's not like something we try to do. It's a fruit of who we are, and that's what happens. You don't say, "Okay, I'm going to feed the sheep today."
No, that's the test. But you have to. But it has to be reminded, because again, the default position is Son of Man.
You know, I have controversy with that too.
Well, I know you do, but
the default is from the beginning.
No.
The default, as the flesh,
No, it doesn't. It means that you have to remove the tendency to believe anything of the mind.
So you got a job, didn't you?
No, you don't. You see it as vanity. Then it's as natural as breathing.
Well, that's maybe off the point of default.
No, it's not. The default position from the standpoint is tested. The default position is tested whether you're contending with him and his temptation or you're concerned about yours.
Well, if we're with him from the beginning, that trumps the default of the flesh.
No, it doesn't. That's the whole. That's why it must be proven in you the same way it was proven in him. But now that's all. It doesn't have to be proven in you in that context because the default position assumes you're dead. But you're not, because the evil one raised himself from the deadly head wound. So the repentance is constant. The moment you start using your mind for something, you know that it's repentance time. Because again, but that's what the mind is constantly doing. It's constantly trying to get you to be in another place other than faith. But and if you're in that position, you'll find something out. It's as natural as breathing. It's the greatest tell there is. And only you know it. If you esteem something in the world that the Gentiles esteem, then you know you're in the wrong position. Now that is to me, in my experience as a believer, that was the most important thing for me to see, because I got ideas, I had a life, I had a future. I could have been somebody. But every time, if I didn't see it, God destroyed it anyway. I think that's why I was electrocuted. Had I not been electrocuted, we'd have been doing all kinds of crap. But my job is to cause you to see the same thing that I see. And that's the one thing. Now, I don't see it all the time. I didn't see it last night when I was in dire pain. I didn't wake Pete up. But I certainly see it with regard to the world. There's nothing that is attractive to me now, except some really beautiful women, but that's another story.
Well, just for the record, that doesn't change the way I think about default. If your life is Christ, your default position is him from the beginning.
No, that's not right.
Well,
one of us is wrong.
That's right. One of us is wrong. And if your default position is the flesh, then...
Every man's default position is the flesh.
I don't believe that. If you're born again, your life is changed.
So you just continue living your life.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Well, what are you doing?
If you're born again, you're a new creature.
Right. But your mind...
Something has changed.
Right. But...
So the mind... at that point, is there to test, prove, bring about conditions that you now can prove your faith, or faith can be proved in you. Isn't that what happens? Isn't that reality?
No, because what happens and then you can continue on in the world system waiting for God to slap you on the head.
He's already done that.
No, he's got to do it all the time. You bear his reproach outside the camp. You don't live. You're no longer in the picture. You're gone. But the evil one is constantly resurrecting himself.
For what purpose?
The purpose to see whether or not there's anything that can draw your attention away from faith.
So that you...
No. Well, yeah, you repent, but the end result is you're being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And the renewal process as you are in the battle, you must constantly be in that position where you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christ isn't doing everything to keep be in the obedience of Christ. You are. You cast down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what sanctification is. And if you were bringing every single thought into the obedience of Christ, you wouldn't have to do that if Christ was your, the mind of Christ was your default position.
Well, that's the same thing. Bringing every thought into captivity is empty. You look at it, you see it, you discard it.
Well, again, this is why an issue that is at the root of why we need to meet with the elders. Well, you're the one that asked for the meeting.
What?
You're the one that asked for the meeting, if you don't, if you remember.
I didn't. You were the one who said it, and I said, let's do it.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around, but I don't remember for sure. All right, take a big bath.